Today's reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The reading can be found on page 1003 of the Pew Bibles. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, June. Let's leave our Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 4, and let's open our time in God's word with prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we think about what it means to know you, to be spiritually formed by you, about what it means to be conformed to the image of Christ, we're aware that the revival of our souls is not simply a matter of experiencing the presence of your Spirit, but rather it's about a radical transformation, a formation, a shaping, a molding of the believer into conformity with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And with this in mind, we submit our souls to your word, for we are utterly dependent on your voice and the grace of your Son, your living word, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you'd work in us to reveal where we need to change in our thinking and in our behavior and in our words, so that we are faithfully abiding in Christ and ready for the day of his return. Amen. Well, an odd story that has surfaced over the last month is the unusual scandal surrounding New York Congressman George Santos. If you're unfamiliar with the congressman, George Santos has said that he is openly gay and Jewish, that his grandmother fled the Holocaust, and that his mother died in the World Trade Center attacks. He said that he attended a fancy New York prep school, and then as a kid, he was a model and was a part of the Hannah Montana Disney movie. Santos has stated that he went to Brock College, and that he was a star volleyball player there. And then he went on for a stint at New York University, and that he's worked at multiple Wall Street firms, and that now he has his own financial management company, and that he also is a successful property investor. Finally, interestingly enough, Representative Santos says of himself that he claims to have founded an animal rescue charity. Of course, the problem with his biography is that none of it is true. Representative Santos now stands accused of lying about the entire contents of his resume. The truth is that Santos is not Jewish. In fact, when he was pushed on this claim, he said, "Well, I'm Jewish." As of a few years ago, he was married to a woman. He did not attend the schools or universities he claimed to graduate from. He did not work for the companies he said to work for. He did not star in a movie, play in high-level volleyball in university, or set up an animal rescue charity. It turns out the truth is that George Santos' whole life is a fabrication. But interestingly, in a recent interview, Santos demonstrated a fabulous lack of self-awareness when he was responding to the charge that he'd been living a lie by saying, "I don't understand where these allegations are coming from." Which makes you wonder, are his fibs the result of deception or are they delusion? What's real? What isn't? And does he even know the difference? Now, listen, it's easy for us to point the finger at a politician who doesn't tell the truth. And my guess is that the world is in no short supply of those. But when I see a politician who is different in the way that he presents himself publicly and demonstrates a complete lack of self-awareness, it does provoke me to ask the question and to look inward and say, do I have an awareness of myself? Am I the same person at heart level as I am in the public eye? Do I really know myself? Am I always honest with myself? Because I would venture to guess that while most of us are not dishonest to the degree that George Santos has been, that many of us do present to the outside world a version of ourselves, and another version of ourselves lives beneath the facade. And so a good question to ask is, who is the real me? The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle famously said, "Knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom." But of course, the problem with this is that we human beings are really not very good at seeing ourselves as we really are. Human beings are poor judges of themselves. We can see examples of this throughout history, but the author of Hebrews actually gives us a great example from the history of Israel. Because in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, we're warned about following the example of the ancient Israelites, who from the outside looked like they were all sorted, because they were God's people. They were the chosen people. God had saved them from the Egyptians, and they were living in the presence of God in the wilderness. They were walking with God in the wilderness. But according to the Bible, they didn't enter into the promised land because they didn't actually put their faith in God, at least not at heart level. And so you have a situation in which outwardly they were God's chosen people. But according to the Bible, at heart level, they were hard towards the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews uses them as a negative example to warn us about this danger that we can think that we're okay. We can go, "I'm okay. I go to a good church. I'm okay. Yeah, I come from a Christian family. I'm okay. I'm on God's side." We can think that we're okay, but we could be actually excluded from God's blessing if we harden our hearts before the Lord. Just like the ancient Israelites, we could be self-deluded if we fail to listen to God's voice today. Because God will not be fooled by our self-delusion. In fact, in our passage this morning, it tells us that God's word is living and active, that God's word is able to discern the intentions of our hearts, and that as a result, nothing is hidden from God's sight. So with that as a bit of a summary of where we're going to go today, let's turn to verse 12, which says that the word of God is living and active. When we talk about the word of God, we go, okay, what is the word of God? And we can clearly say the word of God is indeed Jesus, because Jesus in the Bible is described as actively and alive and ruling over the world, and he's described as the word of God in the Bible. So for instance, in John's gospel, Jesus is described as the Word who was with God and who is God. In Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is given the title, the Word of God. And even here in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that God speaks today through His Son. And this is because Jesus is the culmination of God's revelation. And Jesus is God's final Word. Jesus is the Word of God who is living and active. But also, it's right to say that the Bible is the Word of God, because Jesus said as much. In Mark chapter 7, in Luke chapter 5, 8, and 11, in John chapter 8, Jesus refers to the Scriptures of the Bible. He describes the Bible as the Word of God. So Christ is the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God, and both are living and active. Here's an illustration that might help us understand how both Jesus and the Bible can rightly be called the Word of God that is living and active, and the relationship between the two. When Emma and I were engaged, we had 6 months in which Emma lived in Britain and I lived in America, and it was kind of the long-distance relationship. And during that 6 months, we had very infrequent phone calls because it was like $2 a minute at that time, and we had very frequent letters. In fact, we wrote to one another nearly every day, which meant that every day I would diligently wait for the post. And then upon receiving a letter, I would open it up and pore over every word and think about every word. What does it mean? What is she saying here? And as I would read, Emma would speak to me through the words on the page. The letter was living and active because Emma was speaking to me about what she had written. The words on the page became alive because I knew and loved the author, and she knew and loved me. And in a very similar way, when we read the Bible, God speaks to us through the pages of Scripture. When you know and love the Lord Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, His Word comes alive in our hearts. And many of us have that story in our lives where we go, before I put my faith in Jesus, I would try reading the Bible, and it just felt kind of empty to me. And then once I'd put my faith in Christ, all of a sudden it came alive in my heart. It's because you knew the author. And this is why the Bible is no dead letter. It is living and active. The words of Scriptures are inspired by God. The words of the Bible are Jesus' words. And this means that when we open up our Bibles, God speaks to us through His Word. And we should expect to come face to face with Jesus, to hear God's voice, and to see Jesus, God's final word, in the pages of Scripture. And there's an enduring and unbreakable link between Jesus and the written word of Scriptures, which is why both are called the Word of God. You can't divorce the words of the book from its author. And with this in mind, I think that we should reject those who do try to divide Jesus from His word found in Scripture. A number of years ago, this was done in very clever academic circles where scholars would create an artificial division between Jesus' words found in the Gospels and Paul's words found in the epistles of the New Testament. And very conveniently, these scholars would discredit anything that the Apostle Paul said that was more difficult to digest. And they would reject these parts of the Bible on the basis that these are Paul's words, not Jesus' words. But the reality is this is an artificial division because all of the Bible is God's word. Paul's words are Jesus' words. Jesus speaks through the pages of Scripture. More recently, this same game is being played by people like Pastor Andy Stanley of Atlanta, which is where I came from, who argue that we need to unhitch the good news of Jesus and His resurrection from the words of the Old Testament. Andy Stanley says the Old Testament isn't necessary. We can just ignore that. But the problem with this is, firstly, the Old Testament points us to Christ. So inasmuch as we are ignorant of the Old Testament, we are actually ignorant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But also, when we read the Old Testament, we're reading the Word of God. Jesus speaks to us through the pages of the Old Testament. God speaks to us through all of His Word. And therefore, we would be foolish to attempt to parse the Bible or to unhitch parts of the Bible that we're either unfamiliar with or uncomfortable with. Because Jesus speaks to us from all of the Bible. And this is why we can say that the Bible is living and active. And with this in mind, every time we open up the Bible, we have an opportunity to hear the voice of the living Lord of the universe. To hear our Creator speak to us from His Word. Jesus speaks to us from the Bible. By the way, this is why Christians read the Bible over and over again. If you're exploring Christian things, and you go, why is it that Christians always read the Bible all over and over again? I don't do that with other books. You know, I read Hemingway and I put him on the shelf. Why do Christians continue to read the Bible? Well, it's because the Bible is unlike other books. It is living and active. God speaks to us through His words. And every time we read the Bible, God speaks to us. He points us to Christ. He speaks and relates to us. And we can have direct fellowship with Him as we listen to His voice and as we read His word and as we respond with dependent prayers. It's all part of the communication with God. God speaks to us through His word, and we speak to Him through prayer. It's part of that relationship of knowing God. That's why we pore over our Bibles. And as we read His Word, we get to know God better. And we also get to know ourselves better, too. Aristotle may have said that knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom, and certainly having a good understanding of yourself is important, but actually, Aristotle isn't entirely right. Because the Bible says that knowing and fearing the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Knowing and being rightly related to God through faith in His Son is the most important thing you will ever do. It's the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge, including knowledge of yourself. For you cannot properly know yourself until you know your Maker. And with this in mind, can I urge you to tether your heart to God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Have His voice be the first voice that you listen to in the morning. Carve out time to be with Him and to hear from Him, from His Word. And memorize His Word. Store up His Word in your heart so that you can listen to Him even when you don't have a physical copy of the Bible at hand. And most importantly, depend on and submit to and change your life to match his word. Conform your thinking and your behavior to the words of your Savior. This is actually what separates nominal Christianity from those who are true believers in Christ. Nominal Christianity says, okay, here's the Bible, I'll read that, and I'll sit over top of it and I'll conform it to my life and my lifestyle. It will change to fit me. Whereas faithful believers in the Lord Jesus sit under the Bible. We conform ourselves to his word. We change. It doesn't. We're to conform our thinking and our behavior to the words of our living Savior. Because Jesus actually told us clearly, whoever is of God hears the word of God. He said, those who love me will obey my words. So if you love Jesus, you claim to love Jesus, you need to obey his words. He says, my brothers, they're the ones who hear the word of God and do it. How do I know if I'm in the family of God? I hear the word of God. I do it. And therefore, do not neglect to listen to God, to devote time to his word, for it is living and active. God speaks to us from his word, the Bible, and it's by the Bible that we hear the voice of Jesus. And when you do commit to listening to the word of God, it will actively work to show you who you really are. Let's read again from verse 12. Look with me. Here's what it says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In verse 12, we see that God's word is active in exposing our true intentions and our thoughts, which is an amazingly wonderful promise when you think about it. Because we do truly struggle to be known and to know ourselves. This is probably because many of us wear masks to hide who we really are. So we present a certain version of ourselves to the watching world. For instance, you look at people's social media profiles and posts, and they're carefully curated. In fact, that's the word we use. We curate, don't we? Put that one up. Nope, that one goes away. We present an idealized version of ourselves, never unflattering, never too boastful, appropriately humble, always good, always attractive, always full of life. And it's a mask. In the same way, when people ask you, how are you doing? What's your answer? I'm good. Even if you're not good. We mask how we truly are. And yet, ironically, many of us feel misunderstood. We complain that others don't see us as we truly are, that they don't understand our circumstances, that they don't have the same set of circumstances that we have. They don't understand. That no one truly understands what's going on inside of me. This is why all of us will have times in our lives where we feel misunderstood, misrepresented, not given the benefit of the doubt, not truly understood. Others don't see us as we see ourselves. But actually, can we blame them? Because many of us struggle to see ourselves as we really are. This is why we're able to easily see the faults and the truth of others, but are often blind to seeing our own faults. I mean, think about it. How many times have you thought to yourself, golly, he speaks too much in a conversation? Maybe you're thinking that right now. How often do we think, she's a bit too anxious? His personality needs a few corners rubbed off. Somebody should tell him that. You know, she sure is religious, but I'm not sure if she actually knows Jesus as a friend, as a Savior. We're pretty good at identifying the flaws and the truth about others, but are we able to make the same kind of objective, incisive assessments about ourselves? I think that if we're honest, we often wear masks to hide who we really are. Others don't see us as we really are, and many of us don't actually have the ability to see the truth about ourselves. But God is able to see through all of the masks, and he's able to see us as we really are. When we come before God and we listen to his voice through his word, when we listen to the voice of Christ as he speaks to us by his Spirit, his word is like a double-edged sword that cuts through all of the masks It cuts through all of the misinterpretation and misunderstanding, and it exposes us as we really are, and it does so with ease and expert precision. I will confess, there are times when I will flip through the channels on TV and get lured in by an infomercial. Have you ever done that? And the ones that I always get lured into are those that are touting the amazing do-it-all knife set. And usually they'll have a demonstration of one of these super amazing knives that can cut through tough materials like cans or rubber shoes. They can slice through steaks and fish with ease. And they can intricately divide meat away from the bone. Mind you, I never do anything in the kitchen, but while I'm watching this thing, I'll go, I need one of these knives. It's so affordable, too. I could really use a tool like that. Because you see the ease and the precision with which they cut, and it's just attractive. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says to us that God's word is like the infomercial knife for our souls. It is like a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word is able to pierce down into our souls. God's word is able to dissect our spirits for proper examination. God's word is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, which is something that we need. Because if you'll recall the warning found in chapters 3 and 4, which this passage has been building, everything's been building up to this, in the warnings of chapters 3 and 4 were that there is a danger that our hearts can be hardened towards the Lord, that we can be stuck in a pattern of faithlessness and disobedience, and that we can be deceived by our sinful intentions. But every single time we listen to God's voice as we read His word, it has the ability to cut through our hardened hearts. Like the super amazing knife from the infomercial cuts through the can or the leather shoes. Every time we open up God's word and we willingly submit our hearts to God's care, Jesus, the great physician, gets to work and He undertakes reparative heart surgery. He cuts through the lies and the boasts and the masks that we wear, and He reveals the truth. He shows the true intentions and the thoughts of our hearts. He exposes our hearts as He works to bring us into a better state of spiritual health. God's word is active in exposing and showing us who we really are. And this presents to us both a fabulous opportunity, but also an intimidating prospect. This is a fabulous opportunity because finally we have someone who gets us. If you felt misunderstood your whole life, finally you have someone who gets you. You can find someone now who gets you and can actually show you who you really are. You know, if you want to be made more self-aware, God, our Maker, knows us better than we know ourselves, and He uses His word to show us who we really are. With this in mind, the very best thing in the world you can do is spend time with Jesus daily and let Him get to work on your heart with His word. As He reveals your soul and your spirit, as His word exposes your thoughts and your intentions, as He showers you with His grace, and as He transforms you into His likeness. It's an amazing gift from God. But it's also an intimidating process because it will be painful. When you're cut, it's painful. It will be painful as Jesus cuts through the layers that we surround our hearts with. And it will be an uncomfortable process as He exposes us as we really are. And sometimes an ugly process as the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts are revealed. But it's necessary. Because if we hope for our hearts to be changed, if we hope to be transformed by the power of God's word, if we hope to experience and be formed by the grace of God, if we hope to have a real movement of the Spirit amongst us, we have to be willing to listen to His word. We have to be willing to allow God's word to work on our hearts. The word of God is living and active, and its purpose is to work in the hearts of His people. And if you are fearful about what Jesus might expose in your heart, verse 13 is helpful because it reminds us that God already knows. Let's read together from verse 13, which says this: "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Verse 13 tells us that there is no creature which is hidden from God. God is able to see and know all things. The world and everything in it is transparent to the Lord. We cannot hide from him. There is not a whisper that he does not hear. Before you speak, he knows every single syllable you will say. And he knows every subtlety, every nuance of our thinking, all of our actions, no matter how subtly contrived, however we present them, however secretly conducted they are. They're all visible to the eye of our omniscient Lord. And God's knowledge is pure. It's not contaminated by sin or misjudgment like ours is. God's knowledge is infallible. There's no mistake in his knowledge. Human knowledge is subject to error. Doctors can misdiagnose a disease. Business tycoons can misread the markets. An academic can misread the data. But God's knowledge is not subject to error. And God's knowledge is instantaneous. We struggle to figure out the truth. It takes time for us to learn and to discover and to obtain wisdom, truth, and knowledge. And oftentimes we only obtain that through error, don't we? We make mistakes and then we figure something out. But God knows all things, past, present, future. Every speck of knowledge and wisdom is before him in one prospect. With ease, he brings together all of his knowledge at once. And God never loses any of his knowledge, unlike me, who forgets, who has to write things down, who has to set reminders, and then still forgets even after that. God never forgets. He never needs reminding. Little details of circumstances that happened 10,000 years ago are as fresh to him as if they happened 10 minutes ago. There is no creature, no event, nothing that is hidden from his sight. God is all-knowing. So don't fear when he exposes your heart. He already knew what was there. He's just showing you. It's interesting. If you've read anything in the news recently, you'll know that many people are very excited about the prospect of artificial intelligence technologies. I don't know a lot about it. I've done a little bit of reading. But there are complex projects like ChatGPT and Google's new AI project. And the idea is that we could create computer minds that would know all that we know. And that AI would be better at knowing and learning than we are. And already we're seeing prospects of that already happening. And it's pretty appealing. You can see the appeal of it. Yeah, you can see the attraction of technologies like this and why people are celebrating their development. And why some people are a bit cautious of their development too. But to be clear, the whole of human knowledge and the whole of AI's potential is but a drop of water compared to the vast and infinite ocean of knowledge that God possesses. If you have a relationship with Christ, you have access to the mind of God. We can turn to and learn from God who knows all things. We who are limited in our knowledge can know the one who knows all. We can trust in his providences, in his wisdom, and his word. For it's from his word that God gives us his counsel. God speaks to us and he exposes our hearts from his word. And we can trust him because he is infinitely wise in all things. And when we open our Bibles, God calls us to himself to learn from him, to learn how to live faithfully in the world. That's what wisdom is, to live faithfully in the world. He gives us wisdom. When God calls us to himself, he calls us to learn about him, and he teaches us about ourselves. And then we can dive into the infinite pool of God's knowledge and wisdom swim there for eternity and never see an opposing shore. Just an endless horizon of further wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom that is too great for us to comprehend. And remarkably, God invites us to know Him, to relate to Him, to fellowship with Him, and to rely on His infinite wisdom as He reveals the content of our hearts to us. Therefore, we would be wise to turn to Christ in faith and trust Him with our lives. Because there is great benefit, great wisdom that comes from knowing God. But also, according to verse 13, there will be a day when we will have to give an account for our lives. According to verse 13, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eye of Him to whom we must give account. This indicates that there will be a day of judgment when we will all be held to account, when all will be laid bare. And on that day, there will be no hiding. Every thought, every word, every deed will be exposed. There's no hidden part of our lives which will remain hidden. The things that we've done that we thought were hidden, that nobody knows about, that were done in darkness, they'll be brought to light. And this is because nothing escapes God's knowledge and His gaze. It's pretty daunting to consider. Because my guess is who we are when no one is looking isn't always the same person we are when we're being watched. My guess is that if we had a movie of your life and we played it on the big screens here at church, and the visuals were the things that you do, and the audio was the words that you say, and the subtitles were your thoughts, that most of us would not want that video aired publicly. We'd want a private showing. We would like to imagine that there are some things that stay in the shadows, that there are times when no one's looking. But God is always looking. And there will be a time of reckoning when our lives will be exposed and laid bare. And so when we ask the question of ourselves, who am I? I think we need to be honest that we might be able to be different people in different circumstances. We might be able to hide from others, but we can't hide the truth from God because actually He's always watching. And God doesn't leave room for secret sin. He doesn't give us Saturday nights off where He just turns off the channel and doesn't watch. When Christ returns, all of us will be held to account. And God will play that movie of our lives on that day of reckoning. And without Christ's righteousness imputed to us, that movie will be the basis of our judgment. Our lives will be the basis by which we are held to account. But guess what? There is great hope. Because Christ offers us another way. Instead of hiding and pretending to be something or someone we're not, Christ offers us true freedom and an opportunity to be totally transparent in our lives. Because Jesus came to save the people we really are, warts and all. And at the cross, He offered His life for ours. He died to purify us. And earlier in Hebrews, you remember where it said He offered Himself as a propitiation for our sins. That means that God is not angry with us if you are in Christ. If you put your faith in Christ, He's not angry with you. That means that if you put your faith in Christ, you can live without fear and without shame. For those of us who put our faith in Christ, we don't have to pretend that we're all sorted. We can freely admit that we're sinful and in need of a Savior. And when that final day of reckoning comes and we are exposed, those of us who have given our lives to Christ can turn to Him for salvation, trusting that on our own, there's no way we'd be able to cover up our sins before God. But that through Christ, we can truly have our sins covered. Through His blood that was shed on the cross, through His blood, He can wash away all of our sins. And in light of this truth, we can live right now free of condemnation. We don't have to live hypocritically, pretending that we're good enough. With total transparency, we can live our lives before God as we turn from sin and turn to Christ in faith. putting our lives in his hands, allowing Christ to engage in reparative heart surgery as we submit our souls to the power of his word. And we can do this without fear or shame, because the reality is God knows everything we do anyways. And yes, there will be that day of great reckoning, but that will be a day where, yes, we will be exposed, but that will be a great day for those who have trusted in Christ. It will be a day where we humbly appeal to the mercy and the grace of God found in his Son. It will be a day when we will be presented before God as holy treasures, as trophies of his grace. It will be a day that starts eternity, an eternity of knowing and loving and being known by and loved by God. But actually, that's a day that starts today if we turn to Christ in faith. If we hear his voice and rely on his word and resolve not to harden our hearts before the Lord. As we open up his word, Jesus will show us the truth about ourselves. And he'll go to work on our hearts, transforming us into the people that God created us to be. And so as we close, if you want to be a person who lives a transparent and authentic life, if you want to be someone who knows yourself well and who lives wisely in the world, commit to listening to God. Listen to and abide in his word, which is living and active. Let Christ reveal to you the joints and the marrow of your soul. And commit to trusting and relying on Christ, who knows us and loves us, and who saved us, and who is the source of God's infinite wisdom and grace. Let's pray as we commit to these things. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. It is more reliable and more directly applicable to our lives than anything else we could possibly listen to. Not only because it's true, not only because it's infallible, not only because it never fails, but because it is your word and it lives. So by the Spirit, empower us, we pray, to have a zeal to rely on your word and to trust its wisdom for our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.